Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? We have made it to episode 129, which is almost 130, which is...
Almost 131.
Heavy into season two.
Oh, yeah, period.
Fuck you.
I love your counting, Lily. It has a special place in my heart. I have to say, it's Friday night. I haven't drank for the last, I don't know how many episodes, and Mama's been sipping.
Oh, it's Friday.
Mama's been sipping. Mama's feeling all right.
You guys, Jesse texted me the other day, and she meant to say ma'am. And it auto-corrected to Mama.
No.
And she goes, wait,
worse.
No.
It didn't even auto-correct to Mama. It auto-corrected to Mommy. And I was like, Nora. Lily, I didn't just call you Mommy, I swear.
I told her, I was like, I thought the Miami jumped out.
No. But yeah, I wanted to get just a little drink in. This is my socialization for the week, pretty much. It's just when me and Lily talk.
We don't have any friends. This is it.
We don't. The most exciting thing that's happened to my week is I hung pendant lights on my counter, and I also hung up an entertainment center, like a little floating one, and it looks great.
What are pendant lights?
You know, like when you have a kitchen island and lights like hang down?
Oh, got it. Those. You got like new lighting fixtures.
I did, and me and Nassim put them in ourselves, and nobody got electrocuted, and nobody died.
Congratulations.
If you know Nassim, you know that's a miracle from heaven above. He is literally whatever the opposite of a handyman is. Gotta love him. But anyway, so I wanted to get a little tipsy for this episode. We do have a little bit of some more serious topics at the end. Hopefully, I'll be sober by then. But right now, we got to talk about the most possibly like bizarre topic. It's borderline Hilaria Baldwin. Like, what is going on?
More,
right? Like, it's like Hilaria Baldwin meets and Legion had a
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, no, it's honestly. So we're going to talk about Clinton Kane, who is a musician on TikTok, but also apparently dated Brooke Schofield, who's the co-host.
And every hot girl in the world.
Literally, you guys, this is why we're talking about it, because I didn't know who Clinton Kane was. And then I was scrolling my For You page one day. I knew the name, I knew who the person was, but I didn't have a face to put with the name. And I was scrolling TikTok and I came across him and I was like, what do you mean?
I will say the one thing that bothers me about Clinton Kane the most is he is pretty much the embodiment of licking your own asshole. Every single TikTok is like, wow, I may have just dropped the best song ever known. And then he's just singing to it like, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. You don't get me started, because I did a deep dive last night and holy shit. I was like, who is this?
But I have to say, it's either we talk about Clinton Kane or me and Lily go on for about 3 years about JoJo Siwa. So we're choosing Clinton Kane for today. And you're
honestly
welcome
for that. We'll probably be nicer about Clinton Kane.
JoJo Siwa is my sleep paralysis demon.
Don't get
but
me
that's
started.
Neither here nor there.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm scrolling my For You page one day and I was like, that's him? I'm not trying to be mean. I was shocked. But so apparently Brooke dated him for like years.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait,
she
what?
Like
no, lived- wait. Huh? Really?
I think so. Yeah. I feel like she says that in a few times. Basically, I have links pulled to a ton of different stuff, so we'll go in kind of a timeline order. But okay. Brooke dated him, and then just recently, not recently, I guess it came out like about a year ago, that he seems to maybe allegedly be a pathological liar. And that includes lying about his mom, dad, and brother all dying.
That's a bit extreme. Some could say. We don't want to jump the gun, but I think that's a bit extreme.
He has I don't want to say excuse. He has an explanation about the mom, but I haven't seen one about the dad or the brother, so I'm really confused there. That one is like dark, but the weirdest one is that he talks, I would say he talks with an Australian accent, but honestly, I watched a bunch of videos and it really goes in and out.
It does. It's giving my Australian accent impression.
Yours is much stronger than his.
Oh my God, thank you.
Here's the thing is, a lot of it isn't like totally proven, but the reason it came out was because he did an interview with Zach Sang, which we'll watch part of, and the comments on it were like, I know him from high school and middle school. Like, he apparently is not from Australia. Like, he lived there for a little bit, supposedly, but he's not from there, and you don't just acquire an Australian accent.
I do have to say, I have had people who said they went to high school with me and said horrendous shit about me when I'm like, ma'am, I don't know you. I've never seen you in my life. It could happen that people are saying that and it's not true. I have personal experience with that.
They are very specific though, and they name locations and school names, and like apparently he grew up in Asia.
If there's anybody that needs to crack the case, it's us, obviously. We know everything. So let's do this.
Oh, hi there. I know it's a little early for me to be chiming in, but I just wanted to throw it out there that I actually did do another deep dive, like the deepest of dives. It might be my deepest dive yet, actually. But I'm going to wait to fill you guys in on what I found until after we've gone over most of this. So if at any point you're like doubting whether this is legit or not, just know that I will be chiming in with an update and it should put those doubts to rest. So just going to leave it at that and I'll be back later. Enjoy.
Well, so the thing is, it all came out, the comments and stuff, that happened like 10 or 11 months ago. But now Brooke, because Brooke never had talked about it. She, I guess people knew that they dated, but then she said that he cheated on her and then she like didn't really say anything else. But recently she's felt healed enough to start mentioning it. And Tana just is like ready to spill all the beans if Brooke will let her.
Because that seems very reminiscent of our relationship.
Yes.
You're like,
yes.
How much can I say, bitch?
Can I do it? Okay, so let's back up to the accent. He portrays himself not just to Brooke, but to his audience of like over 2 million followers, which I will say he's very talented. He has, his music is really good. So to his audience, he portrays himself to be Australian.
I always thought he was Australian. The little bit that I knew about him on TikTok, surface level, I thought he was Australian.
These are not like, these clips are insignificant, but they just had him talking a lot. I thought they were good examples.
I reply to only very aggressive DMs, like things that like, I just live in a very, like, my whole life has been a toxic environment, so I only respond to, like, very toxic behavior.
So if anyone listening, if they would like you to respond, just
be
really
just
toxic.
Be like, hey, you little bitch, what are you doing right now?
Okay,
I'll be like,
that.
Ah ha 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 ha.
So it goes in and out a little bit. Like, some words, I feel like the vowels he pronounces kind of with an Australian accent, but the rest feels very American.
I'm not going to defend Clinton Kane, all right? I'm not defending him. I'm just saying, people who live in places, and I've seen it happen with people who
move in Asia, you don't move to Australia for a year and come back with an accent.
Some people do. Okay, Nassim moved to, or he learned English in, maybe that's a little different because that's where he learned English, but he learned English in England.
That makes sense though, that you would have those, because you're like mimicking the sounds that you're learning from
those people. Okay, can I tell you something else that maybe makes me look a little bit stupid? But anytime I would visit my friend Jen in Emporia, Virginia, I would leave with a country accent. I swear. I'll be like, y'all good? Like, or is everyone all right? Like, I just would, because
I have nothing to say to that.
I'm an absorber. I absorb the vibes of people around me, for better or for worse. So I do feel like I absorb accents a little bit. I lost it in a few days. You know what? It may be, actually. But I do think that's a thing. Like, I think there's probably people out there that can relate to absorbing the accents around them.
Yeah, but I mean, so here, what's the other one I pulled?
Do you remember this song? And darling, this is more than anything I felt before. Here's me asking my label if I can release this song now.
Chart, what will it take to release the love song, like, next week? Everyone wants
it. Is that
an
Australian
accent? I think they're getting annoyed. I don't know what to do.
That was, but the rest of it?
I have to say, his method of marketing on TikTok, I get it. And I understand that, like, independent musicians kind of have to have this way of marketing, but I hate it. Like, I hate the whole marketing.
It's super
annoying. Like, should I release this? I don't know. My management team doesn't want me to. I'm like, yes, they do. And I get it.
No, but, like, I've come to find that literally is, like, every single song. All the comments are bitching about it, too, because he teases, like, 15 seconds of a song for like a year and then finally we'll put it out.
Yeah, it's very absurd. And I think that that has set, not him in particular, but like in general, I think that has set a precedent for marketing on TikTok for independent musicians, but that's neither here nor there. I do think he has a little bit stronger of an accent than maybe I would pick up if I lived in Australia, but I guarantee you, bitch, if I moved to Australia, I would be talking a little bit Australian. A little
bit. But also, it's not all the time though.
Like, well, that's what makes it more legit to me. I know that you're saying it goes in and out, but that's what makes it more legit to me. Like, the fact that he's speaking sometimes in his like typical accent and then switching to Australian, that's kind of how adapting.
But only with the vowels. The reason I first knew of this whole story was because, do you remember when she did a duet or a stitch with a clip of Matt Rife telling a stand-up joke where it is about her relationship?
Yeah.
And he describes the accent situation.
There was a girl I went on a date with, and a guy did a very similar thing. Lied about being ex-military, but also lied about his entire family being dead, and lied about him being Australian. He was faking an Australian accent, get this, for 4 years. Would just like break out crying about his dead family sometimes, all in the Australian accent. He'd be like, what?
Thank you, Matt Rife, for that. But then I've heard her in another thing that says, like, they'd be, like, arguing or something, and he'd randomly, like, drop the accent and be, like, just yelling with an American one. And it's like,
Obviously, the people have never heard this, so when you say it, it's not the same thing as hearing it. But I've heard videos and, you know, or stuff of you guys fighting or, like, voicemails and voice memos and stuff where he'll be screaming at you in an Australian accent, and then he'll just drop the accent completely. He's like, completely. What the fuck are you doing to me?
Dude, I have a 14-minute long video of him crying because I said Kid Rock was hot. And he's literally like, Brooke, how do you think that makes me feel? I'm like, hello? Like who, that's an American man. And that, like, is an American man yelling at me right now.
That's funny. I've always thought about what it would be like to argue with an Australian or British person. I think it would give me the giggles in a bad way. And it shouldn't. That's inappropriate. I think that Clinton Kane, had he not had everything else coupled in with it that we're going to talk about, I would be more inclined to be like, oh, maybe he just kind of, like, you know, lost the accent, gets it, gathers it. It's just all a package deal. That's the thing with him.
Yeah. It's very like he is a manufactured personality, it seems like.
Correct.
So his interview on Zach Sang was definitely like what the comments all came from. And that's how Brooke found out too. Like,
yeah.
She, though, I think it's interesting. She mentions that, you know how Risa Tisa was like, I mean, there were times that, like, I knew. And she even says that she was recording, like, audio diaries and stuff and, like, keeping track of it because she knew he was lying. That's what Brooke says, too. She's like, he was lying more than he wasn't. But I chose to kind of overlook them. Like, apparently he lied about his age by 2 years. He was 22 instead of 24.
Why?
Because I guess she probably wouldn't have dated him if you 22 is a lot different than 24. I know 2 years isn't a lot, but, you know, there's a lot of maturing during those 2 years. But he didn't even come forward and tell her himself. She brought it up because she found out. I would be a little weirded out. And then apparently the lies kept coming. So this is going to be him talking. It's a very awkward moment. Talking about his mom, who at this point he says is dead.
But they do. Like everyone, the whole like family does.
All a part of Christianity in the church.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because your mom's a Pentecostal pastor. Mm-hmm. Was.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to laugh about it?
No. I just love the... Is what?
I'm sorry.
Everyone, my mom's dead. Just say it, Zach. Say it to my face.
It's really not funny, but you.
Why are we laughing?
Why are you laughing?
Because you're laughing. This is.
No, but I essentially like paid my brother $250 to write me a song. And then he wrote me a song. It was called Lukewarm. And I put it out on YouTube and it like did not too bad.
Your mom passed?
Yeah.
Your brother passed?
Mm-hmm.
And your dad passed?
1 year, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. Chicken tendies is actually... I mean, chicken tendies is
the
actually
the fact that it's called chicken tendies.
I literally was going to say the fact that he's saying chicken tendies.
How to explain... Because I wasn't ready to talk about it yet last year, about like losing my mom. But she passed away like 2-3 weeks after the song came out, after Chicken Tendies came out. That's why like I had to take a break and it was like a lot of start and stopping. But that song was actually about losing my mom. But my publicist and I found a way to like make it seem real enough, because it's still real, like losing her to religion. But I have...
You did kind of lose her before she was gone, right? Because you didn't have much of a relationship with her.
No, it was all gone. But it was already complicated before. So there's a lot to fucking unpack there, yeah. Yeah, there's 4 songs on the album about my mom.
What are they?
Chicken Tendies, One More Day With You, I Wish I Could Hate You For Breaking Me and Calling It Love. And,
Do you want me to read the track list again?
The takeaway here is, he says that his mom passed away, and that, like, is the inspiration for a lot of his music, and, like, that's the narrative he... sells to his audience too, is that like, this is my way of grieving.
Do you know, I don't know exactly what character I'm thinking of, but those people in movies that like sit back and they're just like, yeah, I smoke cigarettes, I'm a bad boy. Like, that's the energy he's giving right now. He's like, yeah, my mom passed a while ago. Like, it's just like very strange and I'm so confused.
It feels just very performative.
I don't get the genuine vibe here at all. Maybe it's because I know everything I know, but okay, we'll continue and I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Well, no, and that's the thing. It's like watching it back, knowing you're like, oh, Okay. So then the comments come through. And this was, I guess, one of the main ones, but there were several apparently. And this says, I went to school with Clinton and I know for a fact that he grew up in Brunei. We went to a school called,
Serimulia?
Sarjana?
Yeah. Serimulia Sarjana?
Anyway, what Jesse said. for both our primary and secondary education. So, not sure where this Australian accent came from. Additionally, I knew of his mom and brother back when I was younger, 15 to 16, and I know for a fact they are alive and well. So, what's going on? Why make such a huge publicity stunt for fame when you could have gotten it with raw talent? No doubt that Clinton has always had a passion for music, etc. What I'm not sure about is why you had to make such a bold move to further your career. Best of luck to you, though.
So, what I mentioned earlier before, when I said people have lied about going to high school with me and saying like Jesse bullied me and all this shit, what they said was I went to high school with Jesse. Even I went to Ferguson High School with Jesse, which is very public knowledge because I have made a ton of story times on that. And that's a big difference because people could find it because I've made story times on it. Him, not so much. So like if he knows the town they grew up in and everything, I'm like, ooh. Oh boy.
Just the vibe of this comment is like, you're so talented. I'm talking about. Why would you make this up? Like, like they're confused. So apparently that is how Zach and Brooke and everyone like first found out that something was off. Zach was friends with him too, apparently.
And actually, no longer?
Zach is the reason why Brooke met him. Zach said that he feels like responsible for having them date. Then I don't know how long after this is, but Tana goes on Zach's hang, and Brooke has still not talked about it at this point.
When is our turn to go on Zach's hang?
Lisa actually almost worked for him.
Oh, period. I don't think we're going to be invited after we talk shit about his interview with Ariana Grande, but whatever, you know.
Anyway, so here is when Tana went on, and she didn't know that he was going to bring this up, and Brooke was not aware that he was going to bring this up, and she was not pleased with him afterwards.
I'll say my piece.
We should, like, FaceTime her. Where's she? Dana's like, you should invite them both on the show.
I know. She's at some event today and doing shit, but I didn't even think about that. We should do something, all of us, one of these days.
Me a crossover episode or something.
We absolutely do. You guys even come on canceled and it'd be so fucking fun.
You can ask Dan anything.
We would, that would be a fun, like, spill your guts or fill your guts type of vibe about this
I never
show.
Talk a lot. I just know I'm going to get myself in trouble if I start talking.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You just ask the hard-hitting questions, you know?
I just found out that Brooke was dating Clinton Kane. I had no idea that's who the guy was.
Yeah, and I can't wait for there to be a Netflix 4-part documentary about that shit.
No comment.
What do you mean no comment? Make all the comments, please.
No, I mean, because I'm really close to the entire situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I'm one of the reasons why Brooke ended up in that relationship with Clinton Kane to begin with.
Yeah. We were rooting for it in the beginning. I was like, I love Clinton's music. I still do to this day. I think he's so talented. And we all were like, fuck yeah, marry him. And then it was like, fuck yeah, run.
Get away.
And it flipped very, very quickly. I will say I've been in Los Angeles for 7 years now, maybe longer. And I have never seen anything, and I cannot stress that enough. When I say anything, I've seen it all. I've motherfucking seen it all, you guys. I have seen every person do the craziest shit, the most Hollywood shit, the most Illuminati shit, the shadiest shit, the most fucking fucked up shit. And I can't wait to make a memoir about it all, you know. But that situation takes the
the
cake,
what the hell happened?
By far. And Brooke's not ready to talk about it, and it's her story for the most part. You know, I can say things I was a part of and I've seen, but that's her truth and her story. And obviously his too, but I don't think he would know truth if it hit him in the face.
100%.
She still chats with him.
That's what's the most fucked up, and she won't stop, and like that's whatever.
And I love Brooke. You know, I would literally die for her. I love her more than anything in the world. She's my best friend. But Brooke, it's like a funny bit to her, and I'm like, there is nothing funny about this. Please, motherfucking block him, girl. Like, it stresses me out like no other. But
I feel like I gotta educate the class. In a nutshell, allegedly, Clinton Kane, who you may know from TikTok, he wove together this entire narrative that he had lost his mother.
Oh yeah, he told us that on the show, this show.
Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of comments. Yeah. I mean, that's actually kind of...
It's where it all started.
Where it all started was the comments on his episode on the Zach Sang show, which are public comments that I did not write. Yep. Maybe it was just me on 100 different accounts. No,
allegedly. 1,000 different accounts.
No. He came on Zach Sang and was like, oh, my parents, my mom is dead. And then all the comments were like,
literally me.
Like type shit, yeah. You know? And yeah. That's kind of.
Allegedly, Clinton Kane has lied about his mom being dead. Even though he's released numerous songs about it, an album about it.
And then
did you chicken nuggies.
Oh yeah, he wrote a hand.
Tendy, of course, the hard hitting.
They brought it up.
Oh, chicken tendies.
Did you see he posted an Instagram post recently where he was like, and I can laugh because none of this shit is fucking okay. Okay.
You're just a visitor here. You're not really involved.
If anything was actually fucked up, I wouldn't obviously be laughing.
I'll cut her off there. Do you want to read the Instagram post? This was his response to backlash about everyone being like, hey, wait, so your mom didn't die? But before we go any further, I think we need a break.
Yeah, we do. We do.
It's time for a word from one of our favorite sponsors, ZocDoc.
Yes, if you guys watch this show, you already know what ZocDoc is. But in case you do not, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online.
I actually just got new insurance recently, so I'm excited to use ZocDoc, and I'm going to check out some new doctors because it's been a while.
Yeah, and you could use one of their many filters where you can put in your insurance and then skip all of that stuff where you're not sure who takes your insurance, you're calling offices, you're confused, they're confused, everyone's angry. You can literally skip all of that with ZocDoc.
All the specialties are listed and then they have their schedules available so you can just like click and book the appointment there. And it's also super helpful because they have verified reviews from other patients. So you don't need to like ask around. You can just like read a bunch of other people who have actually gone to that doctor and they tell you whether they're good or not.
So if you guys want to try ZocDoc for yourself, you can go to ZocDoc.com/DWKT and download the ZocDoc app for free. And then you can find and book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/DWKT, ZocDoc.com/DWKT.
Thank you so much to ZocDoc for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. I haven't seen this.
This is January 2023.
Not the diary entry. Okay, hold on. You know I have astigmatism. I'm going to need you to make this bigger.
The caption is, the last I'm going
actually,
to
I'm
say
Actually, I'm
going to
need
this.
You to read it.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just take care of it. So it says, the last I'm going to speak on this. And he says, dear family, I'm writing about something that's been on my mind and my therapist feels that I'm ready to talk about it, even though I don't have to or feel the need to, as this is an incredibly personal subject regarding my grief and my pain.
I think it's a personal trigger for me. When people claim that their therapist directed them to do shit on the internet, I would venture to say maybe a therapist would say, don't do that on the internet because it's going to be a fucking disaster and everyone's going to have an opinion about it and that's going to be really impactful on your mental
I'm
health.
I'm going to guess that he doesn't when people have do this based on everything else we know.
I would also believe that, but then also, I would just say you're weaponizing your therapist. That's what this is, weaponized therapism. And I just coined that term and I don't like it. My question is why, if this is posted, like what is this letter we're looking at? Because several parts of it are whited out and scratched out.
Well, that's because this was from like a Reddit post, I think.
Oh.
I think he did the one scratch. Oh my God, could you imagine? Like I restart if I have to scratch out a line like that.
Oh, same. I used to do notes.
Like my perfectionism can't.
You don't even want to know how many notes I had to redo. And then I would still fail the test. And I was like, well, what was that all for?
Note taking was the way I studied. I just like, if I write things down enough, then I will remember them.
I wrote them down and it was sad that I still didn't remember them. I think there's a flaw in the system, anyway. But that's neither here nor there.
So this is like an angry letter to basically people that want an explanation.
Okay.
Because God forbid they want to know why you lied about your mom.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's fucking disgusting how I have to sit here and write this down for me to explain to people who I don't need to explain anything to, as this is my life. Yeah, that's pretty much what you just said though. So I feel so sad, angry, frustrated, and bewildered.
That's a good word. I like that word.
At some of the people in my life, and even people outside my life, who have assumed that they know me and my story. So much so that they've threatened me with some made-up gotcha moment and never let me process my grief from the last couple of years. It is truly pathetic. My loss is just that. My loss. Not for anyone to define, label, or judge. But they still are. So unfortunately, here I am, having to post and explain... I thought you said you didn't have to do this, though. I'm having to post and explain feelings and events that I'm still coming to terms with and dealing with. When I lost my mom, it was my mom. I have been estranged from my biological family for years. This amazing woman who has my mom was the one who showed me love, protection, and guidance over my lifetime. And I lost her. Sadly. As most people who have unique family situations and even adopted people will understand, most people just assume everything be biological. After I lost my mom, I felt the way anyone would. Confused, lost, and pissed off that I was not able to be there. I was on a fucking Zoom watching a funeral, for fuck's sake. I didn't feel like it was anyone's business to go deeper than that. I lost my mom. Mine. These are all caps. That's why I'm stressing them like that. And that's what mattered. It's still what matters. And I will continue to honor her image and privacy. So to those of you who get it, who are estranged from your family, thank you. To my fans who I consider family, who have stuck by me, I love you with all my heart. To those of you who don't get it, maybe one day you will. It isn't my responsibility or problem to make you understand something that I am alone and going through. And for the record, I'm not apologizing. I'm expressing.
Wait a second. I think I understand what he means. No?
I think it's like he's claiming, at least, that it wasn't his biological mom, right, and that it was some lady that he just like viewed as his motherly figure.
Right. Someone that probably raised him. I mean, I can relate to that, but I can't. I have a stepdad, but then I also have a dad. So they were both involved, but they're both my dads in my eyes. So I get it. But then also, I think that it's kind of tricky when you like cut back to the Zach Sang show where he's talking about, I lost my mom to religion. And then after losing her to religion, I lost her. She died. So you're probably talking about your biological mom that you lost to religion. And then you just never had a relationship with her, but she's alive and well. And then you cut to, without explaining, you're like, and then I lost her, literally. So it's like, no, that's a different person, which is fine. And biological is not everything. Blood is not thicker than water. No. That's not the truth.
That's the thing is, I don't think that that is even how the people that don't believe this are viewing it. I think it's that, like, is there this motherly figure, or did you just make that up as a scapegoat to like get out of
saying your interesting mom's dead? So people don't even, I kind of feel a little bit icky being like, is there proof that there's another motherly figure? It's not really my place to decide. But I will say, even if there was that motherly figure, like give him the benefit of the doubt, it's weird that he would merge the two stories in the Zach Sang interview and pretty much in every relationship he's ever been in. So I want to be sensitive like when we talk about this, but at the same time, it does seem like he's just kind of ignoring the fact that he's mishmashed everything and everyone's very confused and that's why they're speculating, not just because they're malicious.
And then the angry approach to talking about it as like, you guys shouldn't even be asking me. Yeah. But it's like, well, no shit they're going to ask you though. That's kind of like a big discrepancy.
Right.
Like, I don't know. And I'm also taking this on the side of Tana and Brooke from how they've portrayed the story. And they're like, no, I think that was made up too. It seems like he lied about a lot of things.
Well, and it seems like if he is lying, someone that would have been in a relationship with him
would have known.
Yeah.
Like, she was with him for 4 years. I think she would have known if he had this other motherly figure.
She did not invest 4 years of her life into Clinton Kane. Did she really?
Apparently. It was her first real relationship, she said.
Wow. That's something.
Actually, here, let's go next. I have, apparently it's a deleted TikTok, but someone had re-uploaded it. It's how she posted that they had broken up.
Come with me to get cheated on for the very first time. This weekend was Life is Beautiful Festival in Vegas, and we were so excited because it was Clinton's first festival that he was performing at. We flew Jet Suite, and it was so easy, and we went straight to dinner on the Strip. Honestly, our dinner was kind of disgusting, but we ate it anyway. Here's us the next morning. It's festival day. Here he is texting. I probably should have read what he was saying. And there I am, so happy. She's so lost. There's our matching little Rick Owens shoes, and here we are walking into his trailer. He was right across from Dermot Kennedy, who's my favorite artist of all time. Probably should have gone to see him. And then here he is tuning his guitar. He is...
I think what trips me out the most isn't even, like, his looks. It's that he looks like he's 16.
Okay, I was literally about to say, he does give 12 to me. It's not even, like, a thing on his looks at all. It's very much like he is not, and I've talked about this before, I like a rugged man. I like, a, you know, beard and all.
He's a boy.
Yeah, he's giving boy, for sure.
Wearing a cover that he was supposed to do. And then I did my makeup in the trailer. It was 110 degrees because the power went out, but honestly, I kind of slayed. Here he is going on stage. stage, you guys. I was so excited. He was so nervous. I honestly don't know what that thing is. But there's my outfit. I knew he was going to be amazing.
Brooke, stand up.
Stage, and it was so amazing. All my friends got to come, and it was just so fun. So many people turned up for him, even though he had a really early set time. Here's us on the golf cart after, on the way to his second set, which you can see here. It was a smaller stage and a little more intimate. I personally preferred this one because he did my favorite song of his, which is called This Is What Being Cheated On Feels Like. It's honestly a banger. Don't stream it. Here we are having fun. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. And then here is me the next day when I found out that he has been violently cheating on me the whole time. I haven't changed out of this outfit in days, and I haven't eaten a single thing, but look at my free lip injections.
Definitely never saw that. I will say, I just feel like she was the epitome of the kind of girlfriend or like wife or whatever that I would be, where it's very much standing there on the sidelines and like supporting you and everything that you do. That is the biggest slap in the face fucking ever.
I know.
I just can't even imagine. She's so hot. And not to say that's everything. Well, that's like it's not everything. It's really
like
not.
She's like showing her outfit and he is giving, as you said, boy.
He's giving boy at LA Fitness. She's giving, I'm serving, I'm here, mama. Looks aren't everything. I'm not saying that they are. And I don't want to say because she's so gorgeous, he shouldn't have cheated on her. Because people got mad at us during the whole like Adam Levine thing where we were like, God, his wife is a fucking model. It's not that that person that's very hot deserves to get cheated on less than us. It's just that like, wow, if it could happen to them, what the fuck hope is there for everyone else? Like, it's just a realistic human looking at it. It's not saying that someone that's gorgeous deserves to get cheated on less. It's really not that. It's just like,
yeah,
how the fuck does this get to this place?
And like, when she's also like, as you said, like super supportive and like she seemed really in it. And
he, you know what's even more disturbing? He seemed really in it too. He's kissing her. He's there. He's probably egging her on and like loving her support of him. And then cheats on her?
Okay, so get ready because this popped up on my For You page the other day. This is from another girl.
Clinton Cain lied about his mother passing.
I've never talked about this on the internet, but Clinton Cain used to be part of my roster. We used to go on some dates in New York, some dates in LA. I'd see him every once in a while. He'd call me drunk sometimes saying, I love you. And I thought it was crazy when I found out that he allegedly lied about his mother and father and brother and sister passing away because allegedly, because the first time I hung out with him ever, we were tied to the hip for 4 days straight. When I tell you, and if I told him I wanted to go home or I was doing something, he was like, let me come with you. Like, he wanted us to be tied to the hip. And I was like, oh, I totally understand. Cause he, from what I knew, had a bunch of family members allegedly like pass away that year. So I was like, you know what? Like, he needs someone. Like, of course, like I was trying to tend to him as much as possible. But at the time I like worked at a law firm and I needed to do Zoom calls and all that stuff. Like, so I was like, I need to go home for a few hours. I literally will see you in like 4 hours. We'll go to dinner and it'll be fine, right? So I'm like, bye. Like, miss you, love you. I didn't say love you. We didn't say I love you. And I go home to do my Zoom call and he calls me in the middle of it. And I'm like, oh, sorry. In a Zoom call, he texts me. He's like, I think he texted me being like, call me back or something like that. So I call him back and I'm like, okay, it must be like an emergency. I call him and he's like, I just found out my brother just died. I'm like so sad, I'm shattered, like I'm so upset, this and that. And of course I cancel the rest of my work day and I go straight to see him because I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then it dawned on me, I was like, oh, when I met him 4 days before then, he had told me his brother just passed away. And we were talking about it and I realized like, wait, didn't you say your brother died like 4 days ago? Allegedly. And he was like, oh, I found out 4 days ago he was terminal, so I just like accepted him dead at that point already. Stop and it. But now I found out he's dead. And I was like,
my God.
Allegedly. So now I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Which I obviously don't think someone's lying about that. So I just was like, oh, okay. You're not gonna pry when you think someone's family member just passed away. And of course, I like bear my soul to this person, constantly did because I thought we related to like parental death. Like my father passed away when I was really young.
Oh, no.
So I would get into these talks and be like, oh my God, like I totally understand. Like I would never wish the pain of losing a family member on any single human being ever. So he lying about it was like, what? That means like it's so crazy to think about him allegedly lying about that because he literally was like, who that is mentally sane in their mind would call someone to lie about being like, my brother just passed away. For what? And when him and Brooke were dating, I like didn't know. I like didn't check in his life or anything like that. But he would like slide up on all my stories at the time, which she knows. Like I've told her that. And then And I didn't know, like, he was in a relationship, or else I would have automatically, like, sent them to her, duh. And then also when I was working in Berlin, after her, like, Brooke and Clinton broke up, he was like, and I didn't know he was in a relationship, he was like, I just got out of a relationship, she's batshit crazy, and tried to tell everyone that I'm, like, an awful person or something, and he would, like, said all this shit about her, allegedly.
So, yeah, apparently his narrative to combat all of the lying stories is that Brooke is crazy.
I have only had one person in my entire life, he was not someone I'm dating, he's a dear friend of mine, who has called me to say his brother passed away. I remember that like all-consuming feeling, that feeling of like, what do I say to this person to even begin to conceptualize any semblance of like comfort? Like, I just had no idea what to say. I didn't know what to say. And I felt so honored that they felt comfortable enough to call me, but also simultaneously, like, I don't know how to help you. Normally, I would give advice to someone or something. That is such a traumatizing call.
And then
imagine
call. This is someone that he's known for 4 days.
No, it's fucking insane. And it's someone that you're having sex with. It's beyond pushing a boundary.
Well, but also, it didn't happen.
Well, that's a completely separate thing. That is literally just demented at that point. But, like, I have to think just on the side if it did happen, which it didn't, probably, allegedly. Yeah. But, like, if that did happen, that's already so much of an emotional, like, push on someone.
A trauma dump. Well, and manipulative when you think about the fact that it was like she said that he wouldn't, like, he was like, oh, let me come with you. Like, yeah, let's not stop hanging out. And then the second that she does, that's how he gets her to come back.
It's like, too much. It's too much. I'm okay. Sorry. That's a lot. That actually pisses me off.
I don't know if these are in order of terms of like when she talked about it, but timeline wise, this is, she went on a Trisha's podcast and she talks about the whole thing, but in it, she describes the breakup and I felt so bad.
It was my last relationship, but we literally went on our first date and never separated.
That's...
Which also, that lines up with what that other girl just said. It's like, he love bombs and like doesn't want to separate and that's already unhealthy.
To me, I love it. I think that's everything.
I did love it. Yeah.
It was like, it was just a very intense relationship, like so quickly. And then when it ended, you just were like, well, who am I?
Oh, I was traumatized.
Yeah. I could imagine. So when you were with him every day, he's like traveling.
Yeah, he was a singer. So he was doing a lot of like moving shows. Around, doing shows. He wasn't really doing shows at the time. He was putting an album out. So it was just every day like
in the
watching
studio.
Him work every day. Yeah.
Wow. And you just loved it.
I was
it.
Like, dee-dee-dee. I didn't have a podcast. So I was like, oh my God. Like,
oh, so you guys were on break from the podcast.
Yeah, it was like exactly, it filled that exact like little time frame.
What were your friends saying? Like, what would like Tana say? I wish like we never see you.
I feel like they all like thought it was different than it was. So they were like really happy for me. They were like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, yay. He's so successful.
Yeah.
He wasn't that. I mean,
I don't know if it's in this or in another clip, but she also talks how apparently he used to bring her on these like insane lavish like trips and like dinners and stuff. She said they would go to like Nobu with like 8 people and he'd pick up the tab, no problem. And he was just spending all of this money. And she's like, we went on the dumbest vacations. But it turns out he didn't actually have that much money. He was like paying the like with the advance he had from the record label.
Legion? Hello?
Literally though.
I do sometimes.
Is it just like hard? Because you said that was your hardest one. That's when you lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah, it was just like a really traumatic ending. So,
yeah, we talked about it when I was on your canceled podcast, which is like crazy for people who don't know. I mean, there's just so much into it. Like, I get bits and pieces of it here, and I'm just like, this was an insane one. This was crazy. Just the lies, so many lies.
Yeah, it was like, I feel like that was the closest I'd ever been to a person, literally ever. And then it was just an imaginary person. Like, I knew nothing about him. Like,
and that's so scary because you're like invested in his life. You become one with him and you're just like,
you think you're so close to this person. And then you find out that you like, where are you? I don't know where you were from.
Did you ever find out anything real about him? Like, do you think anything was real or legit?
Yeah, I was doing like a lot of research like throughout the relationship too, because I kind of knew, like I could tell. You know when someone's lying to you about like certain things, and like, or like you can tell when somebody's like making up lies on the spot, and I'd be like, that's just not a real story.
I wonder why. Do you know why he was doing it?
No.
He's just a compulsive liar maybe. He's just gonna help himself.
Something like definitely probably had happened where he felt like he had to do that, but
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know where you're from. Like, is your accent even real?
What kind of accent did he have?
Australian.
Was it real?
I mean, he's not from Australia.
Oh!
So I don't know.
That to me is like the weirdest thing.
I was living with this man. So imagine every morning he's like waking up and he's like,
good eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I find out he's not even from Australia. I'm like, like, where'd that come from? Like, he had lived in Australia, but that's just not what happens.
Wow. Wait, was he on social media?
Yeah.
So he's posting on social media as an Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Are there still fans? Are people still like supporting him?
Yeah, I mean, he released a song today.
Oh my God, good for him, I guess.
I know, great song.
Did he ever write any about you?
He wrote a couple about me. They'll never come out. I feel like he knows that, like, the best way to hurt me is to never make a song about me ever.
Why would he want to hurt you, though? Because it's like you were the good...
Yeah, he does. Think... He just does.
Yeah. Because is he young, too? Is he in his 20s?
He's young. He lied about his age.
Oh, my God. How old was he for real?
He said he was 24 and he was 22.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh,
and
he's
just
young.
Thought, like, that was no biggie. I was like, well, you don't think that that was, like, a really important thing to tell me? And he was like, why does it matter? It matters.
Yeah, especially that age, too. 24 to 22 is a big difference.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I like, get it where he's coming from. I used to lie a lot, too, so I kind of get it. Like, maybe you want to impress someone or maybe you're
not. Yeah, especially in the beginning, I understood the age thing a little bit just because I don't think I would have dated somebody if I knew they were 22. Yeah. Not justified at all, but I was like, okay, like, I get why you did it.
Yeah.
But, like, at some point along the way, you should have been like, huh, by the way. I had to find that out on my own.
I
like,
never told you.
No. He actually went on the Zach Sang show, and that's how it all.
Oh, wait. So he went on the Zach Sang show and then said what? He said he was lying to this girl or what?
No. So he went on the Zach Sang show while we were still together. And he was, like talking about his album and stuff and his family that had passed and all of that. And I read the comments on the Zach Sang show, and that's when people were like, first of all, he's 22. Second of all, family's alive.
Oh, my God. So he's lying to Zach, too.
Yeah. But, like, that's how I found out. I read those comments. So that's why Zach was, like, really involved in the whole thing.
That is insane.
Imagine finding out that he's lying from comments on a YouTube video.
Well, that's the thing. Is, like, if you're dating someone, I would say even for 2 months, let alone years, if that's literally
and
how
living
long
with
they
him.
Spent together. They live together?
Yeah.
See, that would disturb me to my core. Like, genuinely, it's like, how did I exist around a person who's so good at lying that I existed with them? Like, that is just, that would
But then also acknowledge that you kind of knew that, not victim blaming at all, but that she's like, I knew he was lying and I just, like, was okay with it, too.
Ugh, this is crazy.
I canceled it in here, too. And obviously, I love Zach and I love you. And I was trying to figure all this out because I'm like, how does this all relate? Because then I saw Tana on there. I mean, you kind of got in this drama circle. I feel like you're very chill, drama-free. But then I'm like, there's a lot of drama that comes with it.
Yeah, no, it's like funny and I can laugh about it. But at the time, I was like, I was like really going through it because I felt like my boyfriend died.
Yeah, you're just like, who's this person? Yeah. What did you say? What was your reaction? Did you call him? Did you see him that night?
Well, I had confronted him like when I first found out and he just like lied and I believed him. And I called my mom, which was not a good idea. And she was like, you know, like no one would lie about that for no reason. Like something horrible must have happened. And so I like thought that and I was like, you know what? I'll just let it go.
Yeah.
I'll see past it. You do not see past that.
Yeah.
You should not see past that.
Oh man.
Because then, of course, he was like cheating and stuff. And it's like, why would I think he wouldn't cheat on me if he would lie about like his age and his family being dead.
Oh my God. So you found out about the cheating.
Yeah.
And then what? So did you break up with him?
No, he broke up with me.
Is that the craziest thing?
Because he's like, I got caught.
Stop it.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you a moment to process that because I had the same reaction when I watched that last night.
Okay. Hold on. Rewind. Let's do the math on this. Something like that. Let's get our pencils and papers out. So she found out that he was lying about everything. She already knew that actually. But then she found out that he was cheating and she still didn't break up with him and he broke up with her?
Uh-huh.
That just seems impossible. But honestly, men are amazing. Men are amazing. And they never cease to amaze me.
And I got caught.
Yeah.
And what did he say? What was the breakup?
He was just like, we can never see eye to eye.
Oh.
I'm like.
Lie to lie, baby. He's like, fully.
What? Well, so he broke up with me. We got back together. I broke up with him. But.
Oh, okay. So you did get the final word in that. The final say.
Yeah, but like so embarrassing. Like he killed his family off and I took him back.
That.
Oh my God.
Girl, I've done the same.
Yeah, no, totally I'm medicated same, now, yeah. But like I was off my rocker.
Oh my God. Why'd you take him back? Because you were just like so attached.
I was so attached. And mm-hmm. I just like, that was my first serious relationship. So I like, I was like, I love him.
Was this last year?
This was exactly this time last year.
Wow.
So it's been a year.
And are you healed from it or are you still healing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still think about it, obviously, but I feel so much better. I was, like, not doing well at that time. I was, like, constant babysitters.
Oh, man. What did you do? How did you stop from spiraling? Or did you just spiral?
I spiraled for so long. I lost, like, 25 pounds and, like,
just didn't eat.
was I could not eat. And that's never happened to me. Usually when I'm like stressed out, yeah. That's eating is all I do.
Yeah, same.
But it was so much anxiety that I just like, oh my God.
And were you just like laying in bed? Like,
yeah, well, I literally had like 4 or 5 friends that I like cycled between that would like come over and genuinely babysit me. And I just like.
So that's how it ended. I can't get over the fact that he broke up with her.
He said, because he
honestly, I bet you it was because he like knew that he was getting caught in so many lies and that it was just going to keep coming out that there were more.
You don't have to bet me. I know that for a fact. How many men have done that where they're caught and they're just like, well, if you can't trust me, like, then I'm
not
going to
work out.
It's like, what just happened here?
Also, I haven't seen anyone talk about this anywhere else, but I noticed this on his TikTok where the caption is, the love of my life passed away and I wrote this song. To my knowledge, you don't say that your mom is the love of your life. So I'm assuming that this is a relationship.
An
but like
maybe.
Someone else died. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. January was when the Zach Sang thing happened, but a month earlier, it was this post where in this note, he says, whenever any sort of holiday hits, I always seem to feel lonely, weird, and honestly depressed. I don't have a relationship with any of my family. We've always been disconnected growing up, and I know a lot of people feel the same way too, but I am right here with you feeling the same thing. I've never known what a family was like until now, which seems to kind of contradict that he had this like motherly figure that
I was about to say, is he referring to his following as a family?
Yes, correct.
Ooh, that gives me parasocial ick.
I've never known what a family was like until now. Thank you to all of you, every single one of you who listens to my music and feels with me.
No, that is really, in my opinion, either a very misguided or a downright malicious attempt. Yeah, manipulative attempt at trying to finagle this situation, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
And also he says he grew up a pastor's child, but I saw a clip where Brooke at one point talks about how she's like pretty sure his mom works in retail.
Oh my God, can I say something super, super fast? My dad got so annoyed with me because he said when we talked about that pastor that was scamming his church, he goes, Jessica, tell me why when you did the whole episode, you didn't even mention once that your father was a pastor. I'm like, oh my God.
He's like, why did you have me on as a guest?
Okay, first of all, literally, that is what he wants. He wants to be a guest on Do We Know Them. Every time he stays with me, he's like, are you filming today? Like, he just wants to poke his little fucking head in here. But I'm like, what do you want me to say? That you were a pastor? You and my mom got divorced? Like, what is there to say? I don't have anything else to say. Before we continue, I want to thank another sponsor of this podcast, and that is Honey Love.
Because we have 2 sponsors, you guys.
I know. We're doing big things.
Moving on up.
If you guys don't know, Honey Love is your go-to for all things shapewear. So they have shapewear, and they also have pretty much the most comfortable bra that has ever touched my tatas, I must say.
I have to say, I don't usually even wear bras because they are so uncomfortable.
Lucky you. I don't have that option, Lily. Some of us are hanging on the floor. I have been wearing Honey Love for the last, I want to say like 8 episodes, and it is so comfortable. I am a person that cannot stand the wires, like, you know, the underwire thing.
That's my
the
problem.
The anxiety it gives me is insane. Like, I get home and I rip it off. This is so comfortable. It doesn't have that. It just like holds you in, but it feels even more comfortable than a sports bra, I would say. And if you're curious, I'm wearing the Silhouette bra, and oh my God, I am obsessed with it. I wear it every single day. But let's talk about the shapewear, because that's what Honey Love does the best. There's many issues that come with brands that make shapewears. They roll down. They literally make you feel like a boa constrictor is around your waist. I actually, one time when I went to Hawaii for an anniversary trip, I wore shapewear to dinner and I got so uncomfortable that I ran to the bathroom, I took it off and I threw it out in those little like feminine hygiene things. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I couldn't breathe.
And Honey Love shapewear also features lingerie inspired. So they're not just like ugly. Like, I feel like some of the ones I've had in the past are just like nude colored.
Yeah.
Like, and if someone saw you wearing that, they'd be like, oh, these are actually cute.
Yeah, they are. And if you guys want to try Honey Love for yourself, you can get 20% off of your order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/EWKT.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal. But if you guys want to support our show, then definitely check out honeylove.com/DWKT and get your shapewear.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Honey Love for sponsoring this episode and for protecting my tatas and, you know, not making me feel horrible.
How funny is it? The Legion story? He also claims that his parents like started a church.
Honestly, all were probably true. It all tracks if I do the math on that. But anyway.
So I feel like I can't play the music for any of them. I just need you guys to see his like performing.
It's not him, his performing. This is him licking his own butthole.
I think I pulled a clip of him actually performing at something and I was like, oh, what is he doing? Here, let me play it for you and then we'll just mute it later. And then also, this is his caption for so many. I think I did something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He says that.
Why sleeves? I don't know. But also, why is the sink full?
Not Ariana Grande every time she washes her hands. I cannot. I have to admit, I am so confused about Clinton Kane. I don't know where I stand. I have to assume that anybody that's dated him knows more about him than I will ever know, obviously. And not only her, but that other girl that came forward and she said that her and Brooke have talked and stuff. Listen, if there's anything I know is you get multiple women together, it's bad for you, sir.
By the way, I also found another account from a girl who said her best friend went on a date with Clinton, and it's quite the story.
Clinton Kane lied about his mother passing. And
okay, my friend went on a date with Clinton Kane. I keep seeing these videos all over TikTok, and I'm like, please tell your story. Because it's, swear to God, the same thing verbatim, but way worse. They sit down to dinner, and he's 30 minutes late. And he goes, I'm so sorry I had to reschedule a few times. I just found out my brother died. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Why are you here? Like, you don't need to be here right now. And he goes, that just shows you how much I like you. So apparently they're getting into a conversation and he's getting drunker and drunker. He starts like crying at the restaurant. She's like, oh my God, this poor guy. She's also like, why is he on this date if he's so traumatized? He goes on to tell her that also his mother died falling down a flight of stairs, and that he had another brother that was still alive, but a few months after his mom died, his dad also died. He goes on to tell her that he lived in Greece and he was homeless for a year, sleeping on benches, bussing tables, but then also he was somehow filthy rich back in Australia. He lived in a mansion with like two chefs and a driver and a butler, but that it was like really lonely and isolating. He was really strangely pushy. Like, he kept being like, why aren't you drinking? You're not drinking enough. She was like, yeah, I just don't really see anything I like. So he was like, what do you want? I'll get you anything you want. He ends up getting her an entire pitcher of sangria because that's what she likes. Like an $80 pitcher. It's really quiet. They're sitting outside. It's like COVID times at like a restaurant. He's crying about his mom dying. And then he stands up from the table and walks over to her, like first date, mind you, and just starts making out with her. And like the whole restaurant's like really quiet. And everyone's like, what the fuck is happening? She's kind of like, no. He makes some comment about how he just really wants to feel close to her and he cares for her so much. And she's like, what the fuck? This is a first date. I literally don't know you. I'm gonna fast forward. Anyway, he ends up basically inviting himself out to karaoke with her friends. At the end of the night, she goes home and he's like calling her like, come stay over. And she's like, no, I don't really want to. He was like, I have a flight the next day, but I will cancel it and spend the entire day with you tomorrow. And she's like, I can't tomorrow. Like, I have a bunch of doctor appointments. He goes, why do you even need to go to the doctor anyway? Like, what is this doctor's appointment for? She's like, I have a lot of health issues. He goes, like what? This was after their first date. First and only. Then she ghosted him because she was like, keeps hitting her up on Instagram DMs over and over. He goes, you know, I've been waiting for you to reach out to me, but then I remembered you're a Sagittarius and you like to play hard to get. She's ghosted him to this day, but every time I see these stories, I'm like, you need to tell yours. Because A, I will never get over it, and B, he was lying to everybody about his parents dying. Wild.
If they can all corroborate each other's story, and honestly, Brooke has no reason to lie. This girl has no reason to lie. This guy's running a fucking muck. They all seem to have the same idea that he's faking all of this shit and that he really doesn't have any opposition to it. He's had so much time. I feel like this rumor has been floating around for like a year now, at least.
It has.
So the fact that he hasn't come forward and been like, hey, no, my family's actually dead and like you guys are being really disrespectful, that says a lot to me. It's like he's just continuing on like nothing's happened. And it's like, sir, just accept the fact that you maybe tried to do actually what? I'm trying to think about it in my head. I'm like, what did
sell
he
his
do?
Music, I guess. He's doing it all like seemingly to have this image of like, feel with me and like how emotional my songs are. But it's like the emotion isn't necessarily real. It's all manufactured.
Which is sad because again, I go back to like the way of TikTok marketing where it's like, it doesn't have to be this way. You could just make good music and just show it to people. But people like him make
it's
it
like
this
he
way.
Needs a story behind the songs to have it like really feel like it means something, but it's like, sing about something you actually do experience then.
Hi guys, I'm back with my deep dive that I promised. Now I have to say that while I did do this deep dive, I don't want to show all of the evidence, which I know you're probably like, what the fuck, Lily? But honestly, I'm not trying to dox him or his family. So I will tell you dates and stuff, and you're just gonna have to trust me. If you don't, then that's fine. So you can choose what you would like to believe. Basically, I think the options are me or Clinton. So choose wisely. Anyway, basically, I started by finding out what Clinton's real last name is because, spoiler alert, it's not Kane. Know who has the same last name as him? his two parents. So after I had their names, it was not hard to find their Facebooks. And guess what? They were both friends with a profile named Clinton Kane. So clicked on that. And this isn't Clinton's recent profile that has like a lot of followers on it. This is the one he used right before that, the one he stopped posting on in 2018. In fact, his mom was even still liking his profile pictures up until 2018. But what I would like to focus on is a post that I found on his page from 2017. What's the relevance, you might ask? Well, remember, according to Clinton, he and his family have, quote, always been disconnected growing up, and he's never known what it was like to have a family until now. So that's a bit odd when you consider he wrote this on September 1st, 2017. Oh my God, it's this girl's birthday. Happy birthday to the most beautiful, humble, optimistic, down-to-earth, kindest, and amazing mom ever. I don't think it's possible for me to express how much I want to thank you for everything. Seriously, I don't think there are enough words to express gratitude in all earthly languages put together. Thank you for accepting me for who I am, even when the world didn't. Thank you for always being there for me throughout everything. Whenever I had problems or whenever I cried my eyeballs out, you were always there to let me cry on you. You are absolutely amazing, and I am so in awe of the person you are. You are so loving, caring, and kind to everyone you come across, and it's so amazing. Literally. But most important of all, you love God with all your heart and fear him, which is something I always look up to. You are my role model and literally my inspiration in this world apart from Jesus. You gave up and sacrificed so much for me and my brothers, taking care of us, driving us to places when we needed to go, despite your super busy schedule every day. You've always made a way to make it happen, and I'm so confused on how you do it, Mom, but you always do. And you do it with little complaint. I don't know how. Thank you for all the lectures, even if most of the time I don't listen. But without those lectures, I would have never known how much you gave up giving me and my brothers great lives. And most important of all, thank you for not just being my mother, but my best friend. Best friend. Just let that sink in for a second. We talk about so much weird stuff and deep stuff, and it's just so amazing how our relationship has changed to you talking to me instead of at me. You've treated me with so much respect and maturity, and I am forever grateful. Thank you for everything you've done and everything you will do. I hope someday I can try to pay you back for all that you've done for me. I love you so, so much from the depths of my heart. P.S. I will be more obedient. So that's interesting. Best friend. We all heard that. And yes, while they could have had a falling out or become estranged after this post, based on his own words, I'd venture to say they had a pretty close relationship up until 2017, which, I mean, is only a few years before she supposedly died. So interesting. Could he have lost her to religion? Sure, but he also kind of seems to be all aboard the religion train here. So I don't know. Seems like at the very least he misrepresented this relationship. So when we think back to the Zach Sang interview, the mom he describes as losing to religion is definitely the same mom that he claims to have lost, literally, a few weeks later. This is the one that he wrote Chicken Tendies about, supposedly.
Chicken Tendies is actually... I mean, Chicken Tendies is actually about losing my mom. And I had a talk with my publicist about explaining how to explain, because I wasn't ready to talk about it yet last year, about like losing my mom. But she passed away like 2-3 weeks after the song came out, after Chicken Tendies came out. That's why like I had to take a break, and it was like a lot of start and stopping. But that song was actually about losing my mom. But my publicist and I found a way to like make it seem real enough, because it's still real, like losing her to religion. But I have.
Did you kind of lose her before she was gone, right? Because you didn't have much of a relationship with her.
No, it was all gone. But it was already complicated before. So there's a lot to fucking unpack there, yeah.
Which would mean that the woman whose Facebook I found, the one that is linked in that post, must no longer be alive, correct? No, not correct. In fact, this woman, who he lovingly refers to as his mom and best friend in 2017, has actually updated her Facebook as recently as December of 2023. Yes, that was a few months ago, but more importantly, it is a little under 2 years after he says that she, you know, passed away. So, gonna call bullshit on that one. But back to the songs that she inspired. In that interview, he also says that she inspired two other songs on the album.
Yeah, there's four songs on the album about my mom.
What are they?
Chicken Tendies, One More Day With You, I Wish I Could Hate You For Breaking Me and Calling It Love. And, actually just three. There's just three songs.
One of which was the song One More Day With You, which is also interesting because that's a song that he teased in December of 2021. The way he teased it is by saying the love of my life passed away and I wrote this song. I mean, to each their own, I suppose, but I can't be alone in thinking that that's a little weird, right? Your mom was the love of your life? That's a little odd, yeah. But so at this point, you might be like, Lily, don't you remember? He said that it wasn't his biological mom that died. It was this other motherly figure. But to that I say, remember the mom he was referring to in 2017? Because it doesn't seem like there was another motherly figure in the picture if that was his best friend and his mom who sacrificed everything for him and his brothers. You know, I don't know. It just doesn't really line up for me. One other pretty damning discrepancy that I found is from an interview he did with Flaunt. It's a Q&A. And while I don't know the exact date, it was to promote Chicken Tendies. It was apparently right after it came out. And in the Q&A, the person asks, I saw you post that you lost someone and the feedback on the song has helped. How's your mental state? And he said, it's been better. I'm dealing with it behind closed doors and everything. I had to say something to everyone so it didn't look like I just disappeared. Chicken Tendies was one of the biggest weeks of my life, yet somehow I just left. I had to feel it out for a little bit and cry in my bedroom for countless nights. So great, so lovely. It helped my skin, though. I have better skin now. I'm pretty sure it helps. Interesting answer. But what I'm more interested in is that the post that this interviewer is referencing is the same post that, timeline-wise, matches up with his mom dying. So that's why I find it a little interesting, because we can scroll back up and see a previous question asks, did you ever think about going down that route, making Christian music? To which he responds, maybe a couple songs here or there, just to appease my mom, to make her happy. And then he has in quotes, oh, Clinton's doing something good with his life. That's great. She's a pastor. Present tense. She is a pastor. So she always said, stop writing sad songs and write Christian songs. Maybe I'll make a couple Christian songs here and there, but I don't think I'll become a Christian artist. So, multiple reasons why that's interesting. First of all, because supposedly she died already, so it's weird that he would be referring to her in present tense and saying that he would in the future make a couple songs to appease her, because according to him, she is not with us any longer at this point. But also, this answer implies that she does very much know about his music and has heard his quote-unquote sad songs. So then, what is this little moment with Zach saying where he says that he's so sad because his mom has never heard his music and what he's passionate about?
I don't know. The thing is, like, I always wonder this every day. Like, I wonder if she even got to hear anything that I made. Because she was alive when I started, like, the YouTube series and stuff like that. I don't know if she ever, like, heard it or, like, because I didn't... We didn't talk, like, before she died, like, we hadn't spoken in, like, a year or something, or, like, a year and a half. Like, no text, no call, no nothing. It was kind of just, like, you do your own thing. It's always been that way. So I'm, like, kind of, like, accustomed to it. But I always think about that. Like, did you hear any of my music? You know what I mean? Like, my, the passion, the thing that I'm doing with my life. Like, it's kind of, like, sad to think about it sometimes.
The math isn't mathing for multiple aspects of this, but one more thing about his mom. In June of 2022, Clinton posted a note for the release of his new album, and it describes having a Norwegian mom and Filipino dad. And while I'm not an expert in ethnicities or genealogy or whatever sciences would determine this, I can with 100% confidence tell you guys that the woman he called mom in 2017 and said raised him and was his best friend and has the same last name as him is very much Filipino and leaves comments in Filipino. And you'll have to take my word for this one, but her maiden name is also like a common Filipino last name. So all signs point to her being Filipino, which I don't really know why he would fake that. Then again, I don't really understand why he'd fake any of this, so just add that one to the list. Also in the birthday post for his mom, he mentions his two brothers. And I did the math, and Clinton had told Zach Sang that he lost his brother about 3 months after he lost his mom.
When I lost, like, my dad, it was a lot of bottling up feelings. When I lost my mom, it was, like, I spent, like, I don't even understand. Like, I spent so many nights, like, on my couch just crying. And, like, music on my Sonos didn't stop for 3 weeks. I never stopped. It just kept playing. Like, the same song that I, like, wrote about my mom, like, I just kept playing. I would wake up, the song would be playing. I'd go to sleep, the song would be playing. It was, like, I didn't do anything. Like, it was just, like, a lot of crying on my couch. It was like, a dark time. Didn't respond to any of my friends and texts. Like, I just, like, zoned out and, like, left. I just couldn't do it. And then by the time, like, 3 months later, my brother died. And, like, I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, what? How does this? This is not real right now. How does this fucking happen? Like, doesn't make sense. And at that point, I didn't cry one single tear when my brother died. And I was, because I was already so numb.
Now, I could only find one brother on Facebook who very much is still alive and posting actively. The other one, I couldn't find his profile, but I did find him on the mom's profile because in a reel she posted as recent as September 23rd, 2023, which is over 2 years after he claimed that he passed away, she posted a reel of him singing, the brother. Guess what? None of the comments were underneath it. Anything about him not being alive. In fact, both brothers are in multiple profile pictures on their mom's profile from 2023. And they definitely seem like recent pictures, so there's that. Another odd thing is if we listen back to the Zach Sang interview, he refers to his brothers in present tense, even though they had just made a whole thing about referring to his mom in past tense.
What about your brother?
I think he's heard it. He definitely has, yeah. We've texted here on and off, but also complicated relationship.
I mean, both of them are musicians.
Yeah.
You're touring the world.
Yeah.
It's
it's 2 p.m. and I'm depressed. Yeah, yeah.
So that's interesting. I also found it interesting when he talks about his brother writing him a song and he kind of seems like he wants to maybe distance himself a little. Because when Zach asks, like, if they're still close, because apparently his brother, he had paid like $250 to write a song for him back in the day. This is what he had to say.
Hey, but you have a tight relationship with your brothers, your siblings? What do you have? Brother,
no.
Sister?
I have two brothers, no.
You don't talk to them at all? No. Even though you got them to write a song for you?
That was like way back. That was like two years ago. The thing is, I don't have like a close relationship with any of my family.
Sir, 5 years and 2 years are kind of different, so... That's a weird answer. And now finally, let's touch on his dad, which according to everything, it seems like he supposedly lost his dad in 2021. The issue there, though, is that I found a YouTube video that he posted July of 2020 called I Wrote a Song About My Dad Who Died. So I guess if the brother died in June of 2021, supposedly he didn't really, obviously. But I guess then that would make it a year prior. So now, as I said, I did find his Facebook as well, but he has not updated it since 2017. Don't really have much more information there. He is friends with both Clinton and the mom, but I did also come across a TikTok comment, which obviously cannot be verified or taken as fact, but it suggested that his dad had passed, but just not recently. But if the dad really did die and it was supposedly in July of 2020, then I found this post from June of 2021, which is supposedly also the month that his brother died, except for that he's still alive. He had tweeted out, "Happy Father's Day to my father who abandoned me. Thank you for the trauma. It's quite great." Interesting way to celebrate the anniversary of his death, supposedly, but again, to each their own. He also posted this TikTok.
Happy Father's Day to my dad who abandoned me. Thank you for the trauma. It's quite great. I wrote this song about you, mate.
Sounds to me like he's still talking to someone that's alive, but I could be wrong. That's basically it. So to recap, the mom is still alive. Both brothers are still alive. The dad, unsure. But two out of three family members that you said were dead or not, it's not looking good. So I don't know what happened between all of them, but I'm going to guess that they don't speak anymore because I doubt his family would be okay with, you know, him killing them off to sell music. So anyway, that's all I have. Back to us. Bye.
I'm sorry, but if this really is a ploy to sell music, I do think that it's a little bit darker than the surface that we're touching. Because it's like, yeah, if he really is going that dark, my whole family's dead, and that's how you're going to relate to my music, I would assume there's more there, you know, that he needs to explore and work on. Yeah, all in all, I don't know that this cleared up anything with Clinton Kane. I think it actually...
Every clip I saw, it just made me more confused.
Literally. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that's where I should be standing, because that's where I stand, where I'm just like, are you all right, sir? I'm just confused.
And Tana wants her to make a, like, multi-part Risa Tisa style series.
She should.
This is them very recently talking about it.
It was really crazy, Brooke, though, because I was watching this series, and... Sincerely, I don't know anyone else who has lived it more than you. Like anyone else who I could even be like, oh my God, that's like so-and-so's situation. It's unlike anyone's situation in the entire world, except for yours with Clinton Kane. And yeah. You dated Legion. Like you dated a man who did exactly that.
Just everything. And you know what's crazy? I obviously like when that whole thing first happened, I like was
hesitant to talk about it online because I was like so scared and I just like felt bad for him or whatever. But like the more, like the further I get away from the situation to where like I really do not give a fuck about that man anymore, I think about things every single day that I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe like there's so much stuff that even you don't know that I'm like that he was lying about that. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
I want to know. I would like a Risa
like,
Tisa.
Just random like times that like, we pulled over one time and we were in his car. Like
me.
We were on our way to a trip and like he takes out license and registration. The car is not registered in his name. It's not his car. Whose car is this?
Like, wasn't it Taylor Holder's car?
It was like, it was somebody else who lived with Taylor Holder, but he kept it at Taylor Holder's house. And it was like for sure a car that he was just borrowing from them.
And like you didn't know for months of dating him and you were
riding. Yeah, but that was just his car. Like that was, I thought that was his car. And that was like the car that we took everywhere and whatever. And like just shit that's like, what the fuck? Like he lied about everything. He said he had, like I would go to his apartment in Vegas and he said he had two apartments, like two apartments in the same complex, but I never saw the other one. And like the longer we dated, I realized the other one that just like didn't exist.
That's cool.
He would just tell me like about random shit that just, it was not like he made up every single little tiny detail about himself. And he would go in such detail, like all about like his church growing up, how his mom was a pastor at Hillsong United, which is like the biggest fucking church ever in like Australia. In
she wasn't.
She's not a pastor at any sort of Hillsong United. In fact, I'm pretty sure she works in retail. Like,
and that's exactly what this Risa Tisa situation was. Like, he would just, exactly that. And she, like, debunked all the lies.
Tana says that she wishes this man to have no career online anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, listen, if I dated a Clinton Kane, would I be all over it on this podcast? Yes. Do I want you to start dating more so that you could spill your messy shit on this podcast? Yes. But that's neither here nor there.
Do not wish me to date a pathological liar.
No. I don't wish that for you. I never said that. I said I wish you would start dating more so that you could start spilling some tea. I just want you to start dating some individuals, Lily. This is an intervention.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. No, I do need to do that.
Don't get the comment section too excited. You know that we could start a bachelor or bachelorette.
I downloaded Hinge like probably like a month ago. I hadn't used it in forever. Guys, I haven't said like where I live, but I moved out of LA. I live in like a very small town area and like it's close to places that are not small towns, but like, you know, you can look on the dating app and it's like, who's nearby? I went through four people and it was like, no more.
Guys, please email us if you're a dating prospect for Lily. We would really appreciate it. Please don't be a pathological liar or have a fake accent. We will expose you.
At least have a good fake accent.
100%. If you're gonna fake it right. And I've always stuck by that. Clinton is an interesting individual. You see him on TikTok. He's just doing the same thing he's always done. He's like vibing on his own. He doesn't give a fuck. He's just living his best life. And it's
well, that's, I'm like, he is his biggest fan.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, he is absolutely his biggest fan.
It is all the same video of him like listening to a song and being like, I think it did something. And then it's just him singing along with a recording of his music.
It's not just him singing along, Lily. It's him going like this.
Eyes closed and he is just like teeth bared and it's just the weirdest thing.
Teeth bared. I need to move on from Clinton Kane because I'm losing it and I think I'm drunk. Okay, anyway.
On a much more somber note, after now it's been over 3 months that no one has seen Kate Middleton and conspiracy theories have been flying and we didn't really dive into very many actual theories around it. Honestly, my biggest takeaway was just like, why did they Photoshop this picture? And why did they do it badly?
And not just Photoshop her picture, they were just so vague around literally any situation surrounding her. And I guess
and then they said that she Photoshopped the picture, which I'm still like pissed about because they definitely lied from what we know now. So a video got posted to their official Instagram and it is definitely Kate. No doubt there.
No conspiracy theories.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirit. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope.
So that's devastating, obviously. Even if she just put out a statement now that had said that and she didn't even film this video, that would have been like, okay.
It is unfortunate, but it is the reality of their situation that they are on this global scale of attention. And it's not that you need to tell anyone anything, but like at the same time, if you don't, people are just going to run crazy. And that's not what anybody wants. And it's not what's best for her or her family. So I just feel like this was such a bullshit thing on the side of the crown.
It was very unnecessary. Like, it escalated to a point that it didn't need to.
Absolutely. And I don't think she deserved that. And I think that at this point, you'll never hear us talk about Kate Middleton again unless something extreme happens. But, like, she deserves to just deal with her diagnosis in peace.
Well, and that's even just the thought in general that, like, something went wrong with the surgery or, like, something medically was going on. Even if they were vague about that, it would have probably not been. But it was like, she's fine.
Yeah, look at
her. She's great.
Yeah.
Look at her on Mother's Day. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah, I probably put so much more unnecessary stress on her than anything else. Like, just being honest from the get-go, and people would have been like, hey, she found something cancerous or potentially cancerous. Leave her the fuck alone. Like, that would have been such an easy...
Yeah, even if it was, like, throwing out that it was potentially something that was bad. Yeah. Like, not even actually confirming would have shut people up, I think.
Making her do these weird appearances and hiding her away for 3 months and these statements and the edited photo... It was so unnecessary. Like, you know that we would have never even talked about her, like, ever, if this had not become such a huge thing.
The only reason we talked about it was because of the Photoshop.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Otherwise, it was not even on my radar. I was like, leave her alone, whatever.
That being said, that is the update with Kate Middleton, and I just hope that everything goes well for her. What else can I say? It's just... scary.
You know, same. Sending her all of the well wishes. Time for We Love the Internet.
Yes. You know, I talk a lot about happy marriages and just making sure, you know, you're just making sure that you're happy and you're living your best life with your partner. Well, sometimes you just want to kill your partner. And that's okay too. It shouldn't be the majority of the time, but just a minor amount of the time you're like, you're fucking annoying. Because I genuinely do believe, and I know this because the people I love most in this life, my mom, my brother, everybody, my kids, they drive me fucking insane. So this TikTok came up on my For You page and I was like, honestly, period.
So freaking hot. In here.
No, it's not.
I'm not kidding you. I can't breathe.
All right, we'll die then.
I feel like that was like your parents.
Okay, no, that's me and Nassim. And honestly, well, he doesn't tell me to die, but every time I get in a car and there's not immediately circulating AC, I cannot breathe. And so I'll be like, I can't breathe. And he's just like, we just got in the car. Like, it just happened. And I just can't breathe if there's not circulating air. But also, why is everyone so dramatic? And when you've spent enough time around a person, it's like, why are you here? Like, I'm not sure. Actually, with him, it's like when I'm putting away dishes or something, or if he's putting away dishes and I'm just like standing there, he's just looking at me like, are you gonna move? Like, why are you here? Anyway,
let me see if I have any good ones.
Any wombats in the roster?
I mean, I could find one.
Of course you could.
Oh, I saw really... It's a JoJo Siwa parody.
No, stop it. Is it Mitzi?
I knew it. I knew it.
She's the OG. She's the one who does it.
Here, let me pull up the JoJo one first for comparison.
I will curse you for putting this on us without allowing us to divulge the rest of our thoughts on JoJo.
We have to keep it short. We have to cut ourselves off. So the caption is...
I hate you.
11 p.m. Just got home from 12-hour rehearsal, but let me just run it one more time in the car.
I hate you.
Not the smile. That's all we get.
Oh my gosh.
And this is the parody. I'm crying. Oh,
Lord.
I'm actually crying. There's tears coming out.
Oh my God.
It's too good.
Oh, you see, you really can't do this to me because I have a whole, basically a dissertation on why I believe JoJo acts the way she does, and you're not letting me share it.
Oh, that's where I'll leave you guys. We'll just little tease. Maybe next week we'll do a full episode.
Curse you, Lily. Curse you for that one. Anyway, if you made it to the end, here's your award. It's my empty beer, my empty IPA. I haven't eaten. I need to go eat. I think I'm drunk. Okay. It's Friday night, and this is our party for the night. So I hope you had fun partying with us. But anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend. No, you already had a great weekend by the time you're watching this because it's Monday.
Well, they raged with us on Friday, so I'm sure that they did.
Exactly. Yeah,
no,
of course.
Wait, no, this is a Monday, so never mind.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. It's done. The episode's over.
Yeah, the episode's over. And we will, as always, see you on Friday. Jesus. Bye.
Cheers.